We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. Not St. John now, but 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be reading in verse number 7 to get our title and on down for the rest of the context. Isn't it a glorious thing to be able to turn on the YouTube and turn to this channel or turn to sermon audio and hear this message and know that God is still giving us messages? He is still revealing himself to us by his word through the Holy Ghost. So we thank the Lord today for your prayers for us, but we thank the Lord most of all for hearing those prayers and for being faithful to us and saying to us, I will never leave you and never forsake you. He has been so faithful to the church for 2,000 long years since the gospel was first brought forth on Pentecost and has never left any of us and is still being a good shepherd to us. Thank the Lord for that. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 7. The title of our lesson is No New Commandment. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. You're not a Christian if you hate another Christian. He says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So that's reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Now, let's go back to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18. One of the keys to understanding 1 John 2, 7 with 1 John 2, 8, that is, I write no new commandment, but an old commandment. And then in verse 8 again, I write a new commandment I write unto you. Well, which one does he mean? He said, I'm not going to write a new commandment. And then he says, I do write a new commandment. All right. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Here is the old commandment that John was talking about in 1 John 2, 7. And so the word old should give you an understanding and should shed some light on this, because it is in the Old Testament. It is back in the old economy. It is under the old covenant. It is under the old Mosaic law. So he says in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he says, this is the old commandment. It's nothing new. It's that which God has said from the beginning. But then how do we understand verse number 8 of 1 John 2? Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Well, verse 8 is just full of bringing you into the New Testament, the new economy. And when you bring an old commandment over into the new, it's like it's brand new. That's what he's talking about. It's not a new commandment in that it's the old commandment that was under Moses' law. But it's all brand new because it's now to be seen not under the law of do's and don'ts, the law having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of those things. This was just a shadowy commandment, but now it's been brought out into the light. That's what he says. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Now, the old commandment, it didn't say God was in you and in him, in Christ, and in you. It just said, this is what you're supposed to do under Moses' law. But now, God has written the law in our hearts. It is not a do and don't thing in our head. It is a way of life in our heart. So bringing it from your head to your heart, bringing it from Moses to Christ, is like bringing it brand new, as if it never existed. So we understand and see that he's right. He's not confused. He's not having a senior moment. He's telling you the truth. I write no new commandment. This thing has been with you from the very beginning. But it's going to be seen as brand new because it's now in him and in you. Christ had not yet come to show you how to love. Christ had not yet come and prayed the Father to send the gift of the Father, the Holy Ghost, to come and dwell in you as it dwells in him. So this love is not going to be just a commanded love. You know, watch out for your neighbor's calf. It gets out and you help him get it back up. And if the ox is in the ditch, all that sort of stuff in the Old Testament, they did those things because they were commanded to do those things. And it wasn't necessarily a warm, emotional, loving feeling in their heart towards their neighbor. They just knew that God said you had to do it, so you had to do it. So it was always there. It's an old commandment. But it's new now because now it's not just going to be, well, you know, old Ezekiel over there, his cow got out. I got to go help him. I got things to do here on my farm. I really ain't got time to do this, but I know I got to go do it. And so he goes, begrudging, as it were, the time he is having to spend, and he just does it because it's commanded. It's an old commandment, but not so with us. Because now the commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, has prayed the Father, if I go away, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. He shall be with you and shall be in you. And so this new commandment is not just begrudgingly going over to the other man's farm and help him get his ox out of the ditch, but it is a loving, caring, gracious experience of God's care for us. Notice what it says in verse number 8 of 1 John 2. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true. What are the next five words? Which thing is true in him and in you? It didn't say anything about it being in Christ in verse number 7. It didn't say anything about it being in Moses. But now in the New Testament, the new covenant, the new contract, the coming of God to dwell not only with us, but in us, we find that the commandments now are new. Jesus extended those things from the old to the new. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not kill. Old commandment. Okay, we know that. But I say unto you, he that hateth his brother without a cause is in danger of hell fire. That's a murderer, hating somebody. And he said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Old commandment, right. You know, don't touch that man's wife, don't touch that man's husband. But the Lord said, this thing's got to be brought on into a further rich spiritual depth of experience. But I say unto you, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart. So that's the new commandment. But you say it's not a new commandment. God always commanded us not to commit adultery. God always commanded us, thou shalt not kill. Right. That's what he's saying. We've always been told that we should love our neighbor. We've always been told in Leviticus 19, love your neighbor. Don't bear any grudge against him. But now, it's like it's brand new. Because God, who is love, that's what John says, God is light in 1 John 1, 5. And God is love. What is it? 1 John 4, 8, 4, 7. The love of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And here it is, 1 John 4, 8, God is love. It repeats the same thing in verse 16 of 1 John 4. So not only is the command to obey it physically, literally, under Moses' law, but now it is commanded, and no one but those who are born again and have the Spirit of God dwelling in them can be commanded to do this, because nobody else is capable of doing this. You can't love somebody of yourself. It is the Holy Spirit that loves through and in you. So he says it's a new commandment. What I want you to do is not only if your neighbor's ox falls in the ditch, or the, you know what, washing machine breaks down, or the dishwasher breaks, you know, there are, we ain't got no neighbors with oxen. But you got neighbors with different things these days. But it's the same principle. You not only help them and look after them, well, bring your washing over here and you can use my washing machine till you can get the repair man out, who, you know, he's not coming till the second Thursday in December, and this is January, you know. You ain't going to be able to get a repair man out soon. So just bring them over here and watch. That's the law. But saying, I'm coming over and I'm going to get your washing, and I'm going to bring it over to my house. I know that you haven't been feeling good. I know that you've been sick, and I'm going to do your washing. And then you show up with her washing. Not only are they washed and dried, but they're ironed and folded and brought back in a neat form. You have just fulfilled the royal law. It was like a new commandment. You weren't required to do that under Moses' law. You just to get the ox out of the ditch. But under Christ's law, do unto others, the royal law of Christ, as you would have them do unto you. Now, we're going to see in a minute, and I'm fixing to get ahead of myself, but I can't hardly wait to tell you this. Christ's royal law, do unto others you would have them do unto you. It's not love your neighbor as yourself. You say, but it is. Yeah, it is. But it's more than that. Christ's law is love your neighbor above yourself. We're going to see that in a minute. We're going over to the 13th chapter of John in a minute, and we're going to see that Christ said this very thing, and this is where John gets it. And Jesus said, as I have loved you. Now, again, I need to, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to go ahead and tell you anyhow. As I have loved you. Now, what kind of love did he say he had? Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, and ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So if you are obeying my word, I will not just love you as myself, I will love you above myself, in that I have the greatest love there is, in that I will lay down my very life. And this is the life of God. He made himself of no reputation. Look that up. It says he emptied himself. Emptied himself of not only of all of his glory, but all of the privilege of his glory. Made himself as a hired servant. Became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Denied his right of sonship. Denied his right of equality with God to receive all the privileges that belong to God himself. So he laid down everything that he had in order that he might give us that which we have not. So the life came to die so that those in death might come to live. Greater love hath no man than this. If you don't love the Lord Jesus, you need to get your lover fixed up. You know, you need to go back and have God do a work on your lover, you know, your ticker. Not just to love like Moses said, oh, Lord, here, hold my ice cream. We just got through making ice cream. You know, the family just got together and phone just rang and Ezekiel socks it in the ditch and I got to go help him. So you go get him out. But a love that passes all understanding, that goes beyond everything. And folks, this is the kind of love that is 100% evangelistically sound. What do you mean by that? By this shall all men know. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? Go ask all the denominations that. Well, you know, they got this and that and the other. This is how we make it known that we are who we are. What did Jesus say? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. What kind of love is he talking about? Not the Moses love, that's the old commandment. But the Jesus love, that's the new commandment. You say, well, that was commanded of old. Yeah, but it wasn't ever provided like this. Therefore, it's never been required like this. That is amazing. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him. That's how you make a discernment between verse 7 and verse 8 of 1 John chapter 2. How can he say no new commandment? I write no new commandment, and then he says, I write a new commandment. You say, well, that's a discrepancy in the Bible. No, it's not. Keep on reading. I'm writing the old commandment, but now I write it as a new commandment because you've never seen it as being true in Christ. They didn't have Christ Jesus, the eternal incarnate Son of God, walking down their streets, talking to their preachers and their scribes and Pharisees, healing their sick, feeding their hungry, tolerating them while they smote him, returning good for evil, praying to the Father to give them that which they did not have at his own expense. Put it to my account. Let me pay for it. We didn't have that. So this is an old commandment. It's like a brand new one because now we can see it. And it says in him and in you. And now we can feel it. It's not only in Christ, but it's in me. How shall you make yourself known to us and not unto the world, Judas, not Iscariot, asked the Lord. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. If this love is in his heart, he will know these things because it will be me in him. Because you understand and see that Christ in you is the hope of glory. What does that mean? Do you have any hope of what we call going to heaven? You say yes. How do you sustain that? How do you convince yourself that that's going to actually happen to you, not to your husband or to your wife or your children or your mom and daddy or your aunt or your uncle or your pastor or your deacon, but to you? How do you have any hope and any realization that you personally are going to go into eternal glory? There's only one way. You have to know that Christ is in you. Well, wait a minute. Christ is love. God is love. Well, if you don't have this kind of self-annihilation, I didn't know how to say it, in order to serve someone else, love. Wow, what a title that was. If you don't have the love of God that is willing to lay down your own plans and purposes and hopes and reputations for the good of someone else, then you don't have a true hope of glory. Isn't that something? We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3 and verse 14. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So, the church, the harlot church on the Broadway, is full of people who say, we keep the old commandment. We love one another. And, you know, we shake their hand and hug their neck and we tell them we're sorry about their dog dying and all that stuff when we see them at church. But then after that, we don't want to see them anymore. Don't want to hear them anymore. They're in trouble. Have my secretary send them a card. Not touched, no compassion, no Jesus, no God, no love at all. How do you hope to prove to yourself that you are going into glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in you will be the same as the Holy Spirit in Jesus of Nazareth. God doesn't act like anything else when he... let me say it the other way around. God always acts like himself no matter whose breast he abides within. So we're seeing this as a new commandment. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. That's what he's saying. So it's not, it's not just Moses' law, thou shalt and thou shalt not, but it's the law of love. The royal law of the kingdom, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And as you would that men should do unto you, do you also to them likewise. Can you turn back? Let's see which way we're going. Go back to Titus in front of the book of Hebrews. 2 Timothy and then Titus chapter 3. In verse 3. Well, while you're turning, I'll read you verse 2. Be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. This is Titus 3:3. We were sometimes disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, in envy, and hateful, and hating one another. That's when you were lost. But after that, listen, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards all men, what's the next word? Appeared. There it is. Titus 3:4. We were haters one of another, Titus 3:3. But after that, the love of God in Jesus Christ appeared. Jesus said, you shall love one another as I have loved you. They had an example. It had appeared. Now the old commandment is replaced by the new commandment. And I really don't write a new commandment to you. It's the same old commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Leviticus 19, 18. But, dear soul, it is a new commandment in that now it is done in him and in you. So that now you understand the meaning of the word Christian. What's the first part of that word? Christ. You are a Christian. What does Christian mean? Little Christs. How can you prove that you are? You need to prove this to yourself. We need to prove that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, because that's the only hope of glory that we have. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And this love appeared in him and now in you. But you were once hateful and hating one another, Titus 3 and 3. But Titus 3, 4. But after that, after we were hating one another, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace that loves above himself, not just love your neighbor as yourself, that was Moses. But Jesus loved his neighbor above himself. How do you know? Because he let himself die for their good. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How did it turn around? What was the last thing that we find in verse number 3 of Titus 3? Hating one another. That's what we were. That's how we were appeared. That's what we were like when we were lost. What made the difference? The kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You say, oh my. You remember when my ice cream melted while I went over there and helped old Zachariah get his ox out of the ditch? I know I've named the man three different names. I can't remember which one I named him. Anyhow, somebody's ox was in the ditch. You say, remember when I went over there and I begrudged every minute of it? I want you, my wife, I want you, my children, to understand and know that wasn't really love. If it was really love, I would have carried him some ice cream over there and let him and his wife and his family enjoy it while we got the ox out of the ditch. And then I could hug his neck and say, God bless you, I love you. And it would have been real. You see, there was an appearance of the godliness of love. Not just the command of being good toward somebody else. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But looking upon precious, pitying Jesus, seeing him touch those lepers, seeing him weeping over those who had no faith outside of Lazarus' tomb, and standing by himself as the only human being on planet Earth that believed God would raise Lazarus from the dead, weeping because they could not believe that he was the resurrection. And if they believed that he is the resurrection, then they would see his glory. And that's a sad thing for them to miss, and that's why he was crying. Jesus wept. What pitying, tender love. It's such a love that nobody knew why he was crying. People still don't know why he was crying. I have heard it taught. I've heard it preached on in all the years of my salvation, and I have hardly ever heard it expressed correctly, because we don't know the tenderhearted, pitying glory of Jesus Christ as he wept for those who were too ignorant to weep for themselves, because they would not believe in him as the resurrection. Therefore, they were not going to be able to see his glory. Jesus wept because men would not be able to see his glory. That's love. That's this love that's in him and in you, John says. This is the new commandment. It's a brand new commandment. I understand it's the old commandment, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. It's like an entirely different religion, an entirely different revelation. It is an entirely different love. So it's a new commandment. But God doesn't change. And the same God said, love thy neighbor, in Leviticus, is telling us to love him now in Christ. So God has always determined this, but he went by steps and progressively from the old economy of striving to do things out of a commanded religion, rather than doing things easily and readily out of a present love of God in your soul religion. It will be in him and in you. That's why it's a new commandment. It never has been seen like this before. Isn't that great? Isn't that glorious? Oh, my soul. All right, let's go back to John 13. John 13. Where do we start? Well, verse 33, John 13:33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. He had just dismissed Judas, gave him the sop, and told him that he does go do quickly. So he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you disciples, you're not going to be able to come with me. Now, since he has established that he's going away, and this is going to be one of the very last times he's going to be able to speak to them personally, and them look at his face and see his lips moving and hear his very voice, what is it that he would say? My great-grandmother, Miss Birdsong, of LaGrange, Georgia, Troop County, she died in my grandmother's house. And I spent a lot of time with my grandfather and my grandmother in that house, little concrete block house on Dawson Street. They tore it down now because the expressway came through. But she died in that back bedroom. And my grandmother's sisters came in. A lot of cars out there on the old dirt road in front of the house. Cars parked everywhere. Everybody was crying. I was young. Little old barefoot country boy. And they would, you know, there's always one in the family that seems like they wanted to direct everybody else. There was one that would say, okay, now y'all come in and see her. She's right at the end, so be very kind and tender towards her. And different ones would go in as the other ones would come out, but they never asked me to go in. They never let me go in. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that I wanted to go in because I didn't know what was going on, and it was kind of scary to me as a little old boy. But I often wondered, what was the last thing Great Granny Birdsong said to Aunt Ruth, the great Aunt Ruth, great Aunt Tula, and to my grandmother, Lena Lane? What was it she said to them? It was the last thing that she could say to them. And here is the person of God going to be on earth as redemptive Savior for the very last time. You're not going to see him like this anymore. He was different towards his disciples after his resurrection. He never appeared to a single lost person again after his resurrection. The 40 days that he stayed on earth between his resurrection and his ascension are very unique. So these are the last words he's going to be able to say before he goes to the cross. And he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. Now, what is the last thing he says? Same thing John said in 1 John 2:7-8. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So he says, by this shall all, and the word men is in italics, so you can leave it out. By this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's it. So we come to see that he tells them the same thing John is telling us. In John, 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So here it is. He says it's a new commandment. John said, I don't write unto you a new commandment. It's the old commandment that ye have heard from the beginning. He's saying, listen, God has never changed. God is love. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. God is love. He is changeless. He never changes. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is God eternally. It's just that we could not accept it. We could not receive it. We could not have the privilege of the richness of the love of God in our soul under the Mosaic law, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. So the Lamb of God had to come and not only die to take away our sin, but to live to show us how to love. And so the commandment now is exceedingly broad. It doesn't just say, love your neighbor as yourself, but if I see the kindness and the love of God appearing in Christ Jesus, it now says, love your neighbor above yourself, because greater love hath no man than this, than to do what I'm going to do, and it's to lay down my life for my friends. Wow. Now the commandment is exceedingly broad. It's just too much. We can't do it. God never commanded the Christian to do anything that he could do. He said, without me, you can do. How do you spell? Nothing. So in Christ, I can do all things. I can love the unlovely. I can let my ice cream melt while I go get what's his name's cow out of the ditch. But only in Christ. But when I do those things, but when we do those things, people look on it and say, they didn't get that from Adam. I remember before he joined the church, or however how they want to say it, whatever they term getting saved, I remember that he was hateful and he hated that person. That's what Titus said. We were haters of one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God towards men appeared. Then we begin to understand and see what love is all about. 4,000 years, they didn't know how to love. 2,000 years now, we have no excuse for not loving in the love that is the appearance of God in his kindness towards men. But you say, brother, preacher, I still can't do it right. You say, this message is making me feel empty and unable to love. Good. It made me feel that way when God gave it to me. Now it's making me feel that way again while I'm trying to preach it to you. I understand. But what it makes us do is to flee to Christ and say, Lord, I want to have a real, true hope of glory. I want to have a real assurance that after my last breath, that I shall suddenly appear in your presence. I've been to numerous funerals, Lord, and I've seen them close that lid and the family cry, knowing that darkness is going to come on that person's, on that body's face when they close that lid. But what about when they lower them down 6 feet into the dirt and start throwing into the ground and start throwing dirt on them? Lord, I don't want that to be the end of me. I want that to be the beginning of us so that I can come to see you. But in order for me to have that assurance, Lord, according to John's writing, according to your speech and what you said to the disciples the last time you were with them, I'm feeling so not just inadequate, but I'm feeling like it's impossible for me to accomplish this. But the preacher said, without me, you can do nothing. The preacher said, you said, without me, you can do nothing. And he did, John 15:5. So what did the apostle Paul say in Galatians 2:20? The book of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I really am a vibrant, living spirit. But it's because my old man, my natural man, my mind is crucified so that I have to live in the spirit. Nevertheless, I live. But understand this, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that what John said? 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he didn't mean in a sinful way. He didn't mean fleshly and carnal. He meant right here, as you see me as a person, the life that I'm now living, I live by the faith, watch it, not in the Son of God. Surely it has to be a faith in the Son of God, but that's not what it says. I live by the faith, thank you, Jesus, of the Son of God. It's His faith living in me, who loved me. The only way I'm ever going to be able to love others is for God to love me and to love others through me, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Since this message brings us to a place of understanding the absolute impossibility of us having this greater love, having this new commandment love, makes us see that we have no ability. It is absolutely impossible for us to do this. We must flee to Christ. We must go to Galatians 2:20 and say, Christ liveth in me. What do you go to the Father and say on behalf of your redemption? Here I am, Lord. I kept your commandments. I didn't cuss and smoke and run around. That ain't going to get it. What's the only thing you can say to the Father for you to be accepted? The Father will accept you in the Beloved only. So you say, Father, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to His cross I cling. I seek Jesus Christ to be, I hate to be so carnal, my ticket into heaven. I hate to say it that way. Let me say it this way. The only thing that I have for God to accept me into His presence of glory is that Jesus did a good job on my behalf, and He loved me, not just as He loved Himself. Thank you, Jesus. But He loved me above Himself. And now I have access into this grace wherein I stand. I have access into this glory, and I am made accepted in the Beloved. And now I begin to, as it were, take off my hat, spiritually speaking, loose my shoes from off my feet, for I stand on holy ground. When I see the phrase, God is love. And that love in 1 Corinthians 13 suffereth long, and He has suffered long with me and is kind. After that, the kindness and love of God towards men appeared. He was kind. People can be so mean and so ugly to one another. It's amazing if you say something kind and nice to that person behind that cash register, or to that person that's in there where you're going to drive through and get your biscuit or whatever it is, and you just say good morning to them, just that. Or you smile and say, how are you doing? And not just say, I want a biscuit. It's amazing how it affects them. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. After that, the kindness and love of God appeared. I quit being hateful to others, as it said in that preceding verse in Titus. Love envieth not. Can't ever be happy, can't ever be satisfied, can't ever be contented because they got something I don't have. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't say, if I had that, I could be happy. Love said, I can be happy with what I got because God gave it to me, and I don't even deserve this. Charity is not boastful, puffed up, does not try to set itself forth first, does not behave itself or display itself haughtily or unseemly. Charity, love, seeketh not its own. Look at the cross. Tell me that you understand and see that that's love. Seeketh not its own. Did not seek to keep his last breath. Did not seek to keep the last drop of his own blood. Went into the depths of hell by faith in God the Father and saying, He will not leave my soul in hell nor permit His Holy One to see corruption. I'm going into that which God has never experienced it, and that is death. How can life die? I don't know. I don't know how Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin, but He did. And it must have been the most horrible experience that has ever been experienced for God the life to die. What did it? Oh, love that would not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee and give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths of love it may fuller be. It was love. It was love. Made him go into the unknown. Made him taste that which God had never tasted. Made him become that loathsome thing, sin. Why? For us. He loved us above himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made, I want them to be made the righteousness of God in me. What did he pray in John 17 and verse 24? Father, I will that they would be with me where I am, that they may see my glory. And dear soul, listen, if we see his glory, we shall be like him. It doth not yet appear what we shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we see him in his glory. We shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. God is going to keep on loving until you are glorified. Woo-wee. Man, you don't know anything like that. We ain't just talking about salvation and Christianity and justification and redemption. I'm talking about old love that will not let me go. I'm talking about love that will annihilate the lover in order that the loved may experience his glory. Whew. My soul. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. You can't do anything to Jesus to make him not love those God has chosen in him. You can spit in his face, and that used to put somebody outside the camp for 7 days at least. You can't put him outside the camp anymore. Listen. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. God said it. I do those things that my Father hath commanded me. I believe it. Jesus Christ has told you, listen, little church, I will be with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Why did you throw him away when you stood there in the intensive care waiting room? Why did you throw him away when you stood there picking out a casket for that loved one? Did you not know that love will not let you go? Do you not understand that he says what he means and means what he says? After that, the kindness and love of God towards men appeared. Then we begin to understand and perceive and know how to love, because we couldn't know until, excuse me, God's show and tell was made known to us, and we saw love himself, doing that which Moses and those guys under the law, snooty, persnickety, legalistic, better than you, looking down their nose at you, always got a law that they don't think you're keeping like they are, like they could never show you. But we see Jesus. Isn't that good? Believeth all things, hopeth all things. Therefore, he can endure all things. How many times have we said, I just don't think I can stand this? Yes, you can. If you have God's love in your heart, you can. You have to believe all things to endure all things. You have to hope all things in order to endure all things. And so you can endure whatever life brings because it has never brought anything as horrible and as unfair. And that is not a good word. I don't even know how to say it. As that which happened to your Lord and Savior. His father turned his back on him so that his father would never have to turn his back on you. I thought it was just God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth on him. Just say, yeah, okay, I believe that. Sign right here and then take your tithe cards and be sure you come to church. And don't miss Wednesday night service. Dear soul, the majority of religion in America, that's all they believe, that's all they know. The minority. The majority, the broad way, the minority. Few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Fear not, little flock. Why? Because there's a whole lot of difference between the old commandment and the new commandment. And they don't know that the new commandment is not really new. It's that which God has always been and that which God always requires from the beginning. You know, if we was to say, oh, you say God saved you. Yes, I'd like to stand up here in front of all these people and tell them God saved me. Okay. You want to be baptized? Yep. You want to join this church? Yep. Now, let me ask you this. Are you willing to love others above yourself? What? Are you willing to love others above yourself? You see, friend, if we was to put this on people who, when they were trying to come in, we wouldn't have so many going out. That said, that ain't what I bargained for. But this is what God says. It's what it's all about to come in. A new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another, even above that which you love yourself. And he says, it's really no new commandment. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The darkness of lip service love. Got to go help him get his old ox out of the ditch. I told him to put a fence up around that ditch. If God had the attitude towards us that we have towards others, we would all be going to hell. Until the kindness and love of God towards men appeared and we began to see what it was. And God began to invest this true spiritual love in our souls. Then we understood. And now we see that it's a whole lot different than what the Baptist told me down at the beginning. Well, here's one Baptist telling you right now, this is how it is, and it's no new commandment. God bless you. Pray for me. I pray for you. May God continue to raise up His word spiritually in our souls for His glory. Amen.